What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, hour number two. Phone lines are closed for the moment. I really do have to get through some news here. Now, former CIA officer Ray McGovern is out there basically saying that all of this claims about Russian hacking and the Trump dossier about the prostitutes is actually an embarrassment to the U.S. intelligence profession. Among the rank and file case officers, they do have certain standards. They follow certain rules of evidence because their job is to provide the most accurate, undistorted view of what's really going on to the leadership. And to see the top CIA official just out there propagandizing Russia's bad and Russia's doing this and Russia's doing that, it's building up a tremendous amount of hostility and resentment within the intelligence community, who feel that their reputation is suffering because of the misbehavior of people like Clapper. And I can understand why that would be the case here. As an American, I'm feeling like my image to the rest of the world, all of our image to the rest of the world, is suffering because of the behavior of people like Maxine Waters and Dianne Feinstein and the rest of it here. Now, interestingly enough, on the Senate hearing, when they were talking to retired CIA Director James Clapper, and apparently this one of the senators asked Director Clapper, have you used unmasking on President Trump, any of his campaign staff, or any U.S. senators? And Clapper said yes. Funny how the corporate media seems to have missed that one. Meanwhile, the White House leakers have a new target. There seems to be a rebellion against the deep state growing within the White House. The leaks are continuing, and right now the leaks seem to be focusing on H.R. McMaster. And, of course, he is very pro-war. He's trying to get Donald Trump to attack more countries and do more things. And apparently the leaks coming on out, they're building pressure for him to step down as Trump's second national security advisor. And they want him out. The sooner, the better. So we may be seeing a White House and a Trump administration struggling to recover their authority under the law. Now, amazingly enough, there's an article that came out here in Investment Watch blog. Apparently, companies out in California are still paying people to protest Donald Trump. Trump has been in the White House for more than 100 days, and there is no sign of a let-up. Just this constant, we are going to resist, we are going to resist. Of course, the only thing Hillary is resisting right now is arrest. Meanwhile, Obama has managed to pick up a $3.2 million check for a speaking gig in Milan, Italy. And I'm beginning to think all these huge checks for speaking engagements, it's another form of political payoff. It's sort of a legally acceptable bribe here. And as is typical for Obama, he referred to himself 216 times during the speech. Now, Pew Research has been running some surveys of the American people, and they're finding, to nobody's real surprise, that hardly anybody trusts the federal government any longer. And they're out there wringing their hands. Why don't people trust the federal government? Well, it's simple. The federal government has proven itself to be untrustworthy time after time after time after time after time. Trust is something that cannot be demanded. It must be earned. The same thing for loyalty. Same thing for respect. You have to earn it from we the people. And trust, loyalty, and respect they're all two-way streets. You have to give back as much as you get. Now, over in the media, in this case specifically the Daily Mail in Great Britain, they're already starting to ramp up the propaganda about Syria and the sarin attack. And, you know, CNN has new photos of the aftermath of the attack at Idlib. So they're just beating the war drums for an invasion of Syria. Everybody's concerned because drones are showing over 400 U.S. armored military vehicles on the border with Jordan. And some of the armor is Jordanian M60 tanks. And they're just 43 kilometers away from the Syrian border. All they're looking for is an excuse. And last week we were hearing all these stories about how Press TV was actually hired by a Western country to film a new fake Syrian gas attack. And this is a big production. This isn't the White Helmets in their camcorder. This is a big production. With over 30 vehicles as props, it's going to be a huge thing. And coupled with that was this bizarre story that somebody broke into a hospital in that area, broke into the morgue, and stole the bodies of 20 children. For set decoration, no doubt. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Now, interestingly enough, over in Iraq, finally starting to see a little bit of reconstruction. This is a story that came out of Catholic News Agency. And they've started rebuilding the city of Baghdida, the reconstruction of the towns in the plain of Nineveh. They basically put up a cross, and they're starting to try and get their life back to what it was before all this nonsense with Saddam's non-existent nukes and the U.S. invasion and overthrow. Meanwhile, Turkey is warning the U.S. against giving any more weapons to the Syrian Kurds, who Turkey sees as terrorists, and is actually threatening to end Turkey's strategic partnership with the United States. And that is really going to complicate things in that part of the world, where we're not sure who's on whose side anymore. Meanwhile, over in Israel, their parliament is getting ready to actually pass a law that will declare Israel a state for Jewish people. It will be an ethno-state, which is another word for an apartheid state, where people of the Jewish faith are first-class citizens and everybody else is relegated to subordinate social and legal status. Now, possibly in response to that, Donald Trump has canceled his plans to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Positive development as well. Now, getting on over to South Korea, Moon Jae-in, during his inauguration, in his inaugural speech, says he's willing to go to North Korea and meet with Kim Jong-un and try and derail the high tensions and say, we don't really have a reason to be angry with each other. We've got a lot of reasons to just calm things down. Neither one of the nations can afford to spend all this money on weapons while their people are going hungry. Of course, it's worse in the north than the south, but it's even there in the south. You would think everybody would say, huzzah, huzzah, the tensions are winding down. But unfortunately, we're getting stories like this one in Japan Times saying, well, it's all well and good if South Korea wants to be friends with North Korea, but it's not really going to significantly change the policy of everybody else. If anything, it'll just drive South Korea away from Japan and the United States, which maybe South Korea is ready to do that. Now, North Korea has arrested several Americans, and they are claiming they have uncovered an elaborate CIA-backed plot to assassinate Kim Jong-un, and saying it proves that the United States is a state sponsor of terror. And what's interesting is in this newspaper article, which is over at ABC, they're out there saying, are these people crazy? I mean, the attitude from ABC is, it's just silly. It's just plain silly to think that the U.S. government does assassinations and coup d'etats to other countries. I mean, who could even think such a thing as that? Well, ask the people in Ukraine or Afghanistan or Iraq or Libya or Yemen. Or Iran. Now, satellite imagery is showing that Beijing is starting to install missile systems on the South China Sea islands. That is definitely going to ramp things up. They have this one well-positioned islet in the contested waterway, and it looks like China is getting ready to defend it against outside incursion. Another big scandal over in Europe. Apparently, a German soldier was caught posing as a refugee and planning a false flag terror attack. That one hasn't gotten a lot of coverage either. Meanwhile, down in South America, there have been these 41 activists in Colombia who were assassinated, and it is threatening the Colombian government's peace agreement with the FARC rebels, because the agreement requires the government to protect activists and former FARC fighters, but the government is not living up to the requirement. Well, maybe somebody wants the agreement to fail, and they are the ones who killed these 41 activists. Now, yesterday we were talking about all these U.S. military assets. They're hovering around the borders with Venezuela, supposedly for an exercise. We coupled that with the U.S. history of wanting to intervene in Venezuela and ask, are they considering an invasion? And sure enough, here we are. U.S. warns of military action and more sanctions in Venezuela. And to top it all off, U.S. Senator Marco Rubio has introduced a bill to allocate $20 million toward regime change in Venezuela. They want control of that country. They want control of the oil. They want that oil to only be sold for U.S. dollars. And they certainly do not want the profits from that oil to be spent on the Venezuelan people, like Hugo Chavez wanted to do. What a stupid thing to do, to take the wealth of a nation and spend it on the people. The U.S. is now considering sending Patriot missiles to Lithuania amid the Moscow threat, of which there isn't any. Look who is forward-basing weapons on whose nation's border. Not Russia. You don't see Russian naval forces tooling around the Gulf of Mexico or off the coast of California. You don't see Russia stationing tanks and artillery and missiles in Canada and Mexico. We know who the aggressor is here. According to Wayne Madsen, U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis actually wants a military showdown with Russia. Here's your rifle, James. Here's your parachute. Here's your Dayglo orange jumpsuit left over from the CIA torture centers. Go and have fun. We'll call Putin and tell him you are on your way to kick his butt all by yourself. We're seeing continued turmoil over in Macedonia. All kinds of rioting all over the streets, all caused by austerity, poor economic conditions. Some people are saying it's another U.S. color revolution. Maybe, maybe not. Because apparently most of the protests are around the EU delegation embassy in Macedonia. And allegations that the European Union is trying to choose Macedonia's leaders. Which, yeah, they are. Now, getting on to the war on drugs, Jeff Sessions wants to bring back long mandatory prison sentences for minor drug offenses. And he's basically looking at policy changes set in place by the Obama administration that eliminated harsh punishments for low-level drug crimes. Now, one of the first questions is Jeff Sessions invested in the private prison industry? But beyond that, it's a little more complicated. For the drug dealers and the drug traffickers, yeah, I think that's a good idea. But for the end users, you need to remember they are victims as well. And addiction is an illness. And throwing them in jail for a long, long time is not really the solution to that. Although it'll certainly make those prison factories, those slave labor factories, profitable to have more people in there. Speaking of drugs, down in Mexico, the cartel drug war, fueled in part by weapons supplied by the U.S. government under Fast and Furious, has made Mexico more deadly than Iraq or Afghanistan. The drug war in Mexico was ranked 2016's second deadliest conflict in the world, with only the war in Syria being worse. So that's what's going on down there as well. Speaking of drugs, and I hope none of you listening to this show actually use these things. But if you are into the opiates, you need to be very careful. And I'm going to preface this by saying that back when I lived in Southern California, there was a synthetic heroin that was going around. It was called China White to make it sound like it was the stuff coming in from China, but it wasn't. It was a synthetic called D-alpha fentanyl. And anybody who used it wound up with permanent Parkinson's symptoms. So you got to be careful. Now, the new problem is somebody is taking this tranquilizer made for elephants, carfentanil, and it is incredibly powerful. It's 10,000 times more potent than morphine and 100 times stronger than fentanyl. It is so deadly that just by rubbing your finger across it, you can receive a lethal dose. 20 micrograms is lethal to humans. So, first of all, don't be using the stuff anyway. And second of all, if you are using the stuff, be very, very careful what you're being sold. Because after all, these are drug criminals. It's not like they have to get FDA approval for what they're selling you. Not that these days FDA approval means all that much. Now, turning to the economic news, apparently new mortgages are drying up. And the banks are trying anything they can to try and stimulate people borrowing mortgages for new homes. And what's making it difficult is in these uncertain economic times, nobody knows what they're going to be making a year from now. There's no guarantee. Over the last several years, we've seen people lose jobs and when they have to take newer jobs with lower wages and salaries. It's a repeating situation. The earning potential of the American people is being driven down to match the third world levels as part of the plan for the New World Order. We all have to be in the same degree of poverty before they can really drop those borders. So Chase is offering 100,000 credit card reward points for new mortgage customers. Now, I've never paid attention to credit card rewards. Right now, Claire and I are just trying to get all of our credit cards paid off before things really get unhappy. So I don't know what these credit card points are actually worth, but I know that they're a real come-on. I'm seeing them on all the TV commercials. Use our credit card. You will get points. And I have no idea what the points may be worth. I know that when they were talking about win miles when you're flying with an airline, and it turned out the miles on your account didn't mean a real mile of travel. It takes huge, huge amounts of the miles and points, I think, to get anything. Now, if I'm wrong, if these points are actually worth something, let me know. But I have a sneaking suspicion that 100,000 credit card reward points will get you a toaster. Meanwhile, the Guarantee Bank has been shut down by federal regulators as of last Friday, and they were unable to recover from the losses they sustained from the housing and foreclosure crisis, and they have now officially failed. They've been in business for 94 years, and they were based in Glendale. I remember seeing them when I was living in Southern California. And only the 12 standalone branch locations in Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota are going to stay open, but they're going to be reopened as branches of First Citizens Bank. First Citizen has agreed to come on in and acquire 12 of the local bank facilities and bring them under their bank. But it's another warning sign. We're starting to see banks fail. Now, as you know, healthcare is, well, actually, we're coming up now on a commercial break, so I'm going to leave this until after we come back. The phone lines are now open if you want to call on in.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's the obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true, and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We will not go down in the night.
Welcome back to the show. Now, as you know, the health care debate rages on. It's now in the Senate. The House passed their version of Trump care. And the Senate is going to look at it. They're probably going to make a lot of changes. And over on the Democratic side, they're just wringing their hands and crying that Obamacare might be brought to an end. And they're out there trying to just say, we must keep Obamacare. It's got his name on it. It's been a wonderful program, which it hasn't. It was an unmitigated disaster. And they're going to be staging mock funerals in public places for the death of Obamacare and all the people who will die without Obamacare. But Obamacare was an absolute unmitigated disaster. And I'm not just talking about the website, how much that cost and how poorly it performed. It actually made healthcare much more expensive, because the Obamacare-compliant health insurance policies were much more expensive, and the deductibles were sky-high. It was basically a giveaway to the health insurance industries, who expected to make huge amounts of profits, and then, of course, the government would get their mafia-like piece of the action with taxes coming back from those health insurance companies. It actually didn't work out. Most people could not afford those more expensive policies, and they opted to take the IRS penalty instead. And it underscores something I've been saying for quite some time. There is a willful blindness in the corridors of power and on Wall Street. They don't understand that the amount of money still out here in the American public is finite. It's not a bottomless well. It never really was. And if you raise prices on health insurance, then people have to cut back someplace else, like food, or going without new clothes, or not buying a new car. The amount of wages and salaries for working and middle-class people so that they can trade their labor for decent amounts of money that they can then go over to the car dealerships with and buy a new car, or go to the shopping malls and buy something. Unfortunately, we're in a wartime economy right now, and the mindset is suck everything out of the people and put it into making more bombs. Okay, we're going to take a quick phone call here. Jack in Louisiana, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question about when you worked at NASA.
Yes.
Were you a member of Project Alpha 11-9er?
Nope, never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Well, you could look it up, A119, and the same as the Russians had. So you're not aware of them detonating an isotope explosive on the moon?
No, I've never heard of such a thing.
I watched it live. They did it to take seismographic readings. Two of them took an auger and went out with a little car and drilled a hole. Then they put silver tape out from the hole. Then they said, we're putting the explosive in the hole now. And
okay.
Walter Cronkite said, well, what kind of explosive could that be? Can't be a stick of dynamite. There's no air up there. It wouldn't burn. And NASA's immediate reply was, no, Walter, it's an isotope explosive.
Okay,
and,
well, hang, you're talking
about
10
years ago.
Hang on. Let me talk, because we're almost out of time on this. There was a seismic charge, but Walter Cronkite was wrong. A stick of dynamite can explode in a vacuum because all the chemicals needed for combustion are inside the stick of dynamite. Same thing with TNT. It doesn't require an outside oxidizer. Only a fuel air bomb needs that. But yes, they did have some seismic charges there, but they're basically the same thing that they use for seismic charges here on Earth. And in addition, when the astronauts left the moon, they would then crash the upper stage of the LEM back onto the moon in order to generate another seismic pulse for those seismographs.
Okay, well, they won't admit that they detonated anything, but the rockets detonated to send it back to the mothership. They won't admit they had detonated anything on the moon.
Well, no, there were seismic charges. Okay, but they were like firecrackers. All right, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no pay.
And hello, I'm Erica. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm looking at Fox News, and even they are acknowledging that Comey's credibility was badly damaged when he came on out in that press conference listing the Title 18 felony violations Hillary Clinton had committed, and then saying, we're not going to recommend charges because we can't find that she meant to do wrong, even though that is not required by Title 18. So they're starting to pull away from this, oh, it's Russia this, Russia that, Russia that. No, they're understanding what's really going on. And now, of course, they're talking about rebuilding the credibility and trust in the FBI. That is going to be a tall order, especially for those of us old enough to remember COINTELPRO. Yeah. Not to mention the FBI's personal interference in my life back in 1994. So, getting on over to Brexit. Interestingly enough, Julien Fouché of Cornell Poyan Avocats, based in Bordeaux, is talking about how the EU referendum, the Brexit, may have been illegal. Apparently, there was something about what was called a 15-year rule and how it may have expired So they're trying to bring a court case where they can simply say the Brexit didn't happen. By hook or by crook, the EU does not want any of their member nations to leave. Once EU, always EU. Nobody leaves the European Union. It's like a nation motel. Nations go in, but they don't come out. Meanwhile, apparently, a Spanish diplomat has basically ripped into Germany for its shameless bid for European Union expansion. And saying that the EU has got problems right now, and trying to expand it right now is only going to make those problems worse. But it seems like Brussels' idea is if we grab new territory and new wealth, then we can stave off the economic collapse, which was basically Rome's whole approach to staying afloat during the age of the empires. We're running out of money, let's go out and conquer another foreign land and loot their wealth. And look how that ended up here. Now, the good news is Trump's immigration enforcement has slowed illegal border crossings by 76%. At this rate, he doesn't need a wall. And I don't think he ever really did. If you enforce the existing immigration laws in this country, if you stop offering free stuff to people who come into this country illegally, they will stop coming in. And it's already happening. But still, the New World Order wants to blur us all together. And so apparently the Los Angeles public schools have passed a resolution making all school campuses sanctuaries for illegal immigrants in danger of being deported. So I can already see Los Angeles public school and the back area, which used to be the football field and the exercise area and the basketball courts, is all covered with tents. They're going to be degrading the educational experience of school children in pursuing this globalist agenda of we want the illegal immigrants and the refugees here, and we want to spread everybody everywhere so that you can't remember who you are, where who you're supposed to be, what nation you're supposed to be on, what bathroom to use. Because people who have a strong sense of who they are, where they come from, what their history and their culture is, they're harder to control. And so they want to erase these cultural icons like the flag of the Confederacy and the monuments. And they're even starting to criticize people who wear red, white, and blue as being insensitive to the refugees. Along with all this nonsense about gender is fluid. Gender is just open to interpretation. They're trying to get us so confused about ourselves that we can be talked into anything. Boy, it's not a good time to be in the airline industry. There's been another incident. A Southwest Airlines jet was actually rolling into the gate at Burbank. They were on the ground. The flight was over, and apparently people were starting to get on up, and there was a little bit of a shove, and it just erupted into a fistfight, and it got caught on video. And I can probably understand these passengers. It's been a very long, uncomfortable flight with your knees shoved up into your chest cavity, and that's on top of the TSA abuse to get onto the plane. People's fuses are very short. Or maybe it's just another case of prescription antidepressants here. Apparently there's been another embarrassment against American Airlines. Woman was flying from Baltimore to Tucson, Arizona, and she had a carry-on bag. Her daughter had just passed away and been cremated, and the woman was taking her dead daughter's ashes back home to Tucson. The airline forced her to check the bag and then lost it. So that's another embarrassment. I think the airlines need to get their sense of humanity back. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Will in Minnesota, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Howdy. I was looking through a subject that I was doing some research on. I'm a scumbag attorney here in Minnesota.
Okay.
And was having a debate.
If I know any scumbags who need legal services, I'll send them on to you.
Well, look, I sue debt collectors for a living.
Good.
They harass my clients. I make them wish to God they'd gone into trash collecting instead of debt collecting. And believe me, I'm pretty good at what I do.
Well,
but I was having a debate on someone whether or not the FBI and the feds ever make mistakes in their investigations and wrongly accuse people of engaging in conduct that they don't do. And this person is, of course, of the opinion that, well, if the FBI is investigating you, then you must have done something wrong. And it reminds me of a case that actually is what prompted me to decide to become an attorney, so that I can make life miserable for the government every chance I can. And the case is actually mentioned on your web page, or on your website, specific link. wormscan.html. I know that's hard to relay over the radio.
No, I know the one you're talking about.
And I'm speaking in regards, if you do a search on the page, if you look for Gene Faust, G-E-N-E-F-O-U-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
And the citation comes from a newspaper, and it basically, if you don't mind, I could read it to you.
Yeah, real quick.
It says, Sherry Lorraine Hodge pled guilty to conspiracy to transport stolen money across state lines, $1.9 million. Hodge says she gave $300,000 to Gene Faust, 49, detective sergeant and head narcotics officer and 21 veteran of the Oak Ridge, Tennessee Police Department. The head narcotics officer was to invest it to make more money for me. Ms. Hodge's attorney was saying this, and apparently the FBI investigated this. It says here, a little later, it says, the FBI searched the home of head narcotics officer investment advisor to the stars, C. Gene Faust. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, where's the rest of the story? Because while this all might be true in terms of what was alleged, it doesn't finish the story and say that the FBI actually brought criminal charges against him. The U.S. Attorney's Office prosecuted him to the fullest extent that they possibly could, and a jury of his peers acquitted him. And the background of this case, and the reason why the FBI thought they had their guy and was just absolutely convinced that he was guilty of sin, was because they, quite frankly, didn't do their job. Now, to put this in context, my own father is a graduate of the FBI Academy. He was in law enforcement for years, and my sister is in law enforcement with the Justice Department. But I myself decided to make life miserable for these bastards all I can. And so it bugs me when I see stories that don't show how matters are finally resolved, where they create the impression that somebody's guilty by mere accusation, but they don't show that the person has been tried and found innocent, which is essentially what the jury came back in this particular matter. The FBI was under the impression that because Gene drove a brand new Cadillac every single year, that he must be getting dirty money. I mean, policeman salary, how can he afford to have a brand new Cadillac every single year? And how can he afford to send his two sons to the most expensive private school in the country? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, they never bothered to stop and think that his ex-mother-in-law had more money than God, and she paid for her grandkids to go to that school, and bought a brand-new Cadillac twice a year, and she liked her son-in-laws. She couldn't stand her own daughters, so she gave her son-in-laws, including her ex-son-in-law, Gene, that Cadillac. She bought a new Cadillac every 6 months, and she'd give the old one to Gene and one to the other fella. Well, you know, every 6 months she was giving away a Cadillac, but it looked like he was getting a new one once a year. And, of course, he would take and sell the previous year's model. And, he kept the money. It was his Cadillac to sell if he wanted. But because he had this this revenue stream that they never bothered to even look into. They just were convinced that he must be dirty. But he wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's a classic case of profiling gone wrong and a failure to do due diligence. You're absolutely right about that. But the FBI has a long history of framing people for political gain. James Earl Ray, certainly. Timothy McVeigh is another good example. And then, of course, we had that scandal that came out years ago when Frederick Whitehurst, who was head of the FBI lab, blew the whistle and said the lab routinely rigged laboratory test results to favor the prosecution, and it resulted in a lot of verdict reversals. A lot of cases had to be dropped or retried, and Whitehurst was demoted to head of the paint chip lab. But yeah, the FBI is not the swell bunch of Joes you see on TV shows and movies. They do a lot of this behavior, and back when J. Edgar Hoover was head of the FBI, his number one rule, unwritten, was never embarrass the agency. Meaning, yeah, you're going to go out and do this stuff. Don't get caught doing it. And even Hoover himself was not above, pandering to the media and lying to them. When Melvin Purvis got Dillinger, at first Hoover tried to claim that he personally had taken Dillinger down. Then, of course, he had to back off and say, no, it was Melvin Purvis did it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like Obama saying that he's the one who shot Osama. And,
right.
you got to scratch your head and wonder, you know, where the hell do these people get off? Now, don't misunderstand. There are a lot of guys in the FBI who take their job very seriously, and they do their job honorably and with respect not only for the agency but also for the citizenry. They treat people who are being accused of crimes with respect and dignity. And then you have your bad apples. You know, what percentage of it? Well, that's up to for debate. You know, is it 50-50 good and bad, or is it, you know, 1% making 99% look awful? I myself look at my own legal profession. I say 99% of attorneys give the rest of us a bad name. And that's true of any profession. Okay, I mean, it doesn't matter. You take any profession, you're going to, even, you know, radio guys. You know, you've got folks that do stupid things in radio. You've got folks that do stupid things in football. Pick any profession out there. You're going to find somebody that's going to be a complete horse's ass. And but that's just the nature of it. And when I saw this blurb on here, I was actually looking for the records related to the acquittal on his case. That's when, in the Google search, I found this, and I thought, well, maybe it might be a good idea for you guys to make some changes to this so that folks understand that not everybody who's accused of this is actually guilty. In fact, the reason why this particular person, from what I understand, I don't know this firsthand, I think I was 19 when the acquittal occurred, and it was actually the first time I ever tasted champagne. It was at his acquittal party. My dad had known Gene for years. They actually both were detectives in the Oak Ridge Police Department. My dad was no longer with the department at the time. Apparently this person, this so-called informant for the Fed's case, had been a confidential informant for Gene. And she was pissed at him for some reason. I don't know if it was because her boyfriend was getting tossed and sent to jail or what. But she was mad at him. And she got arrested for transporting the money by the feds. And she decided to kill two birds with one stone, get herself out of jail, while getting even with the guy who's sending her boyfriend or whoever off to the
That's been a big problem with confidential informants. I mean, look at the Whitey Bulger case. This guy just played the FBI like a cheap fiddle for year after year after year.
Not everybody's going to be a black, you know, if you're familiar with the Blacklist program on TV with James Spader, not everybody's an informant like he is, where they're actually turning over real criminals. Sometimes they're turning over innocent people who they just have a grudge against. I mean, God help me if my ex-wife ever decides to be an informant.
Well, sometimes it's actually very common for drug dealers, when they get caught, to become a confidential informant, and then they inform on their competition. So the government takes out their competition, so they don't have to drive by an old Ford with a Thompson submachine gun and do the dirty work themselves.
In some respects, that's actually better for society that they do it that way if those other people are actually guilty, because it's better for the police to pick them up than to actually pick them up off the street in body bags. And, under those circumstances, if you're catching actual criminals, I have no problem with one criminal ratting out another criminal. What I do have a problem with is when a criminal rats out an innocent person. And
I would have a problem with that as well. Listen, we're out of time. We got to take a break for the commercial. Thank you for all the amazing information, and congratulations on your particular niche in the lawyering field here. And it sounds to me like you're actually probably doing a lot of good out there. So thank you very much for that. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And that last caller prompted a huge outpouring of emails that are basically saying they disagree. They think that the vast majority of FBI agents are corrupted and willing to break the law and cause harm to innocent people. Let's see. Here's one. The FBI helped cover up Bundy in Oregon. This caller is damage control call. People are sending me links to all these stories that we've reported on before. FBI admits flaws in hair analysis over decades, Washington Post. U.S. admits FBI falsified evidence to obtain convictions. FBI admits forensic evidence errors in hundreds of cases, and so forth and so on. And again, certainly my own personal experience with the FBI tends to go along with that. I would like to think there are some FBI or CIA or NSA agents who are really trying to do a really good job, but they're definitely overwhelmed. And even our caller did joke about it. He said 99% of the lawyers are giving the rest of us a bad name. And I think that could be said for these excuse me, got sneezing fit there. I think the same thing could be said for the FBI. There's a lot of pollen in the air. For the CIA, FBI, NSA, for the government as a whole. You know, it's the bad 99% that are giving the rest a bad name. So, moving on here, let's talk a little bit about Hanford. I'm almost feeling like we're being Fukushima'd in terms of the media. Remember when Fukushima first blew up and they came out with this announcement about this insane amount of radiation that was pouring out of there? And then 24 hours later they said, oh, no, this it was a calculator error. One of our engineers made a mistake. It's really just a little. You don't need to worry about it. And there was the photo of the explosion in one of the reactors, and they said it was just a buildup of hydrogen, and that's what exploded. The reactor is still fine. And hydrogen, when it burns, it produces water vapor, which is white. And this plume of smoke over the reactor was this pale, sickly, yellow-green, which happens to be the same color as the quadrivalent form of plutonium oxide. So, yeah, they're going to be lying about it because they don't want a panic downstream and downwind of Hanford, which is already one of the worst nuclear-contaminated sites on the Earth. So, basically what it is, they have these processing plants there at Hanford that are extracting plutonium from used-up nuclear reactor fuel rods, because as the reactors generate electricity, the uranium is turned into a bunch of fission byproducts, one of which is plutonium, and that makes really good bomb stuff. And so Hanford is extracting the plutonium to make more bombs with, and they have, I think, a total of six of these facilities in the middle of Hanford. And for some reason, they're called canyons. But the radioactive waste is stored on railway cars in underground tunnels. And one of those has collapsed. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.